Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. We had a very interesting discussion before Sabbath Services about the problem of trying to solve spiritual problems by political means, and they will never work because they all have to have either their own version of God or leave out God altogether. So it can never solve the problem, see? And if they could solve the problems, then there would be no need for Christ. And if they could solve the problems, then they could perfect themselves without God. See? So none of those things are true. And none of them can work out. And even if we see and know and understand some of the problems, again, there has to be repentance. And if there is no repentance, then they're not going to change. It isn't going to happen. So we need to keep that in mind. So there are a lot of things going on, and all you have to do is read the Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and everyone wants the blessings while they live in their sins, and no one wants the curses while they reject God. So that is the conundrum of human nature. It is irrational to begin with. So let's talk about today how then in this age, and we need to realize this, we have more things that we need to overcome. We have far more influences in our lives than at any time in history. And once we understand that, and then we use the armor of God and we use the principles of God, then we can overcome them. So this one is going to be number 5 in washing of the water by the word. Because there are so many entrances into our minds and so many things that we have in our minds that have to be erased. Now we're to learn the lesson, but we don't have to relive the spiritual and emotional trauma concerning it. That's the important thing. So let's come to the book of Ephesians. Let's come to chapter 1 and let's do an overview so we see exactly what we're dealing with in the washing of the water by the word. Because that is another way of saying, how does Christ convert us? Well, by the washing of the water of the word. And it is a spiritual operation. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to survey chapter 1, 2, and 3. Then we're going to go through chapter 4. And then we will come to chapter 5. And we will end up where it is by the washing by the water of the word. And that is the action of conversion by Christ. So hold your place here in Ephesians 1 and let's go to chapter 5 and let's read that verse so we can realize that's where we are going. Now we'll break into the middle of verse 25. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So it is his job to make us holy. It is his job, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to perfect us. Now, we have our responses, and we have our responsibilities, and we have what we need to do, because conversion is a joint project. We have to be involved in the things that we need to do, so that he might sanctify it, and sanctify it means to make it holy. And what is the true holiness that is going to make it really holy? Obviously, the resurrection. That is the goal. That is the end of it, right? Having cleansed it. So it's a process. Cleansing where? In the mind. In the spirit. With the washing of the water, and he's the fountain of living water, the Holy Spirit is a type of water, by the word. So you can say the word then becomes the cleaning agent within the water, which is the Spirit. And this leads us to the ultimate conclusion in our physical lives. What's the highest attainment of spiritual growth we can reach? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? The mind of Christ. That is accomplished, as we see in Colossians 1:27, with Christ in us, the hope of glory. So God is doing a tremendous and mysterious thing on earth that the rest of the world doesn't know. And it can't comprehend it. And it cannot see it. Now, it can see our behavior, but it cannot see what God is doing. So have you ever wondered where it says there in Matthew 13, and I'll cover this a little later, that the kingdom of God is likened unto leaven? When we just finished the days of unleavened bread, which tells us during the days of unleavened bread, leaven is sin. So how can the kingdom of God be likened to leaven? Well, there's a good action to leaven, which this is portraying. And that is the unseen action of the Holy Spirit within us. Just like you put leaven into dough and the bread rises, but you don't see the leavening, you see the effects of what the leaven has done. So she put in three measures into three measures of flour. She put in leavening until the whole thing was leavened. Now, we'll talk about that as we lead up to Pentecost. So we're going to come from chapter 1 now. Let's go there. And then we will end up again at verse 25 in chapter 5. Because everything leading up to that verse pertains to the washing of the water by the word. Now let's look at some interesting things right here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, meaning that this letter was circulated to all the churches possible. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, always remember, because there is an argument, and we're going to tackle part of that argument, about the Trinity. But if you read the introductions of every one of Paul's epistles, he distinctly leaves out the Holy Spirit in the category of God, which if the Holy Spirit were God, he would have to put it in the introduction. But the Holy Spirit of God is the power of God, not a third person in a Trinity. And a Trinity comes from pagan philosophy anyway. And Paul took care of that when he spoke on Mars Hills with the philosophers. Then it talks about the blessings that come from Christ. He has personally chosen us, verse 4. Predestined us for sonship, verse 5, and that, verse 7, we are redeemed through his blood, and verse 9, he's made known to us the mystery of his own will, verse 10, the fulfilling of the divine plan of God, and all the way down here to verse 13. Let's come down here and read this. In whom you also, after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this shows an action of the Holy Spirit of sealing us, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And then he gives a tremendous prayer here on how he wants us to understand the will of God. Now we come to chapter 2, and chapter 2 is very important because we have to remember where we came from and who was working in our lives before we were called. and that is Satan the devil. So let's read it here. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins. That means without the Spirit of God, we are as good as dead, though it hasn't happened. But also, living in our trespasses and sins was the result of what? In which you walked in time past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. So everyone is influenced by Satan the devil, who's the god of this world, through the means that he has put in the world, if not directly by him and his demons. And they control the governments, the education, the religions, and the banking systems of this world. That's why Christ has to return to bring the kingdom of God and take it away from them. You can argue all day long about political things, about monetary things, but until you get rid of the inspiration and the power of Satan the devil, yes, and the worship of Satan the devil, by the elite of the world, which you cannot do, that's a job only Christ can do. Someone said, what would it take? Well, I'll tell you what it would take. Number one, you've got to be able to bind Satan. You can't do that. Number two, if you did number one, then you would have to identify all of the super elite that were in direct contact and worship of Satan the devil to carry out their plans in their governments and the coming world governments. And you would have to, as you look at the whole earth, you would have to have so many SEAL teams of experts to isolate them and to kill them, regardless of the time zone on earth, all at once. And no man can do that, see? So even though you go vote and vote for lower taxes, I vote for lower taxes, okay? Political means will never get rid of Satan the devil because he is the one who has set up the politics, see? So we need to realize that it's by repentance. And we also need to realize, let's come down here to verse 9, chapter 2, it's not of our works, though we have works. In other words, we come to the same mind and attitude of Jesus Christ when he said, I of myself can do nothing. And you stop and think about whatever you do in your life. God has given you the ability to do it. All of that physical comes from God as well, see. But people in the world don't realize it. But everything we do comes from God. Does he not give us breath when we're born? And we keep breathing until when? Our last breath. Now, this past week, we had a very nice funeral for Evelyn Gardner, who died the week before. And she was, and there was a dispute about her birth certificate, so she was either 97 or 98. So, you know, God says that he's given to man 70, and if by strength 80. Well, she went 18 years beyond that. See? But nevertheless, she had breath from the time she was born until she gave her last breath up. And God puts that in every one of us. So we need to give God all the credit, see? So essentially, regardless of what you are doing, there is nothing in this world, whether you know it or not, that you can do without God having made it possible. Okay? Now, spiritually, since we we're dead in sins and trespasses, and we are physical and are going to die, the only way we're going to have eternal life is through Christ, and that is not of our works, though we have works that we need to do, but we're going to see those are works that come from God that he demands of us, see, and not what we do. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now I want to emphasize the created, because we're being created in our minds and spirit, and the finished product will come at the resurrection. And that's what the washing of the word is all about, to keep us in contact with God with his spirit, keep us yielded to God so Christ can work in us, to where we can change and grow and overcome spiritually, see? We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. So that tells us where we're going. This tells us what we ought to do. And the good works are found where? In the Word of God. Now let's stop and think of the major sin of mankind. Okay? What is the major sin of mankind? If he understands anything about God, he wants to improve God, beginning with Cain. And that he thinks he's so smart that he's going to figure out a way that he can make God's way better when he cannot make God's way better. The truth is, only God can make you better if you yield to him. Now, just put in your notes there, Jeremiah 18, where he talks about the potter and the clay. And God is working us just like the potter and the clay. Then he comes down here talking about being built up. All right. Gentiles and Jews together. Come down here to verse 20, chapter 2, okay? You are being built up. So this creation is a process of being built up, ongoing, present tense, passive, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that is through their writings and word, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building being conjointly fitted together. So that's what God is doing. So that's going to be something at the resurrection where we will see the completed work of Christ. Now think of all the work that he's doing spiritually, see? Is increasing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. There again we see the Spirit is not God. Then we have chapter 3, where there is an additional revelation given to the apostles and prophets about the plan of God, that we are going to enter into the family of God. And it gives more understanding of the mystery or the secret plan of God. Now, he is going to do everything that he's going to do. And like someone was saying the other day, if you get the principles, if you get the foundation of it all, everything else can be put into place. And so this is what Paul is talking about here, see. All right. Let's pick it up here, verse 14, chapter 3. So we'll get this into the record to see what God is doing. This will help us understand chapter 4 and chapter 5 and how that fits in to the washing by the of the water by the word. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man, the action the dunamis, the power, the inner man. That's where it's all going on. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, having the mind of Christ, having the word of God in us. And of course, we have that today more than ever before, right? Yes, we do. And that being rooted and grounded in love, and that is the basic principle of all, and that is the greatest part of the washing of the water by the word, is the love of God. And we'll see that by the time we finish this series. You may be fully able to comprehend. So God wants us to know. God wants us to think. Think properly. Put things together rightly. Okay? Rightly divide the word of God, etc., you see. Comprehend with all the saints. And we have it today, brethren. You see, what Satan likes to do is come along and dumb down. And that's been his primary tool of interference within the churches of God. To dumb everybody down. To restrict it by a hierarchy that no one can go above the 18 points of an exalted idol of a man called an apostle. See? Now, some people don't like it when I mention it that way. But I don't think that he would even want, if he were alive today, to have people use that as the sum total of the gospel. But men, for power, have done it. Okay? Now, we need to know the breadth and length and depth and height of the plan of God. Today, we have the word of God. That's important. So we need to take the word of God, multiply it in our lives, multiply it in preaching the gospel, and in teaching all the brethren, see. The goal, as we'll see later, is perfection. See that? And to know the love of Christ, and this comes how? Prayer. Meditation. Try this one time. If you're on a long trip, turn off the radio, turn off the CD. If you have kids in the back of the car, well, you know, today they keep them all entertained with videos. And their parents don't know it. Satan is right there putting it in their minds, putting it in their minds, putting it in their minds. See? Everybody exalts Walt Disney, but he's one of the tools of Satan to introduce kids into occultism. Then if you don't believe that, watch every movie, watch everything that he does, and to exalt women over men. That's his goal. So this sets the society for what? An upside-down society. Satanic occult society, see? We're to come out of that and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's at the resurrection. Now, verse 20 and 21 are important because that's the lead-in to chapter 4. So we can understand how the Holy Spirit is working and how we need to work with the Holy Spirit and how we need to have our minds cleansed, because as never before, with everything out there, there are things that can lodge in our minds just bam, in a flash of a second. And we have that on television. We have it on billboards. We have it in magazines. You know? And everyone is attacked by all the pornography at the checkout stand at the grocery store, right? And who are the magazines aiming at? Women. I think one time I found one magazine for men. All women. And of course, Oprah is the big star. But she is a New Age believer. And New Age religion comes from whom? Not God. Prince of the power of the air. Oh, yes, you can be positive. Oh, yes, you can be happy. Oh, yes, you can do all of these things. But always remember, you can come from prosperity to poverty in a split second. That's why we're not to get our minds on physical things or physical emotions and things like that. Okay, God wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God, which will happen at the resurrection. Now notice, verse 20. Now to him who is able, that means has the power, see, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us, which is the Holy Spirit. The power. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. So what we're doing is for eternity. That's something. All right? Now, let's come to chapter 4 and see how all of this fits together. And then how that ties into chapter 5 and the washing of the water by the word. Now, he was in prison, verse 1, and he appeals to them with all humility and meekness and long-suffering, chapter 2, verse 3, not chapter 2, but verse 2, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, mark that for chapter 5 and verse 25. Okay? Washing of the water by the word, which is the word of God, Christ, and the Spirit. Okay. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now this means that we stand in or under the grace of God, from which comes all of the spiritual blessings from God. Hold your place here and come to Romans, the 5th chapter, because we need to understand about the grace of God even more than we have. That's why we did the series, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, see? Because God has called us not to just keep the commandments. God has called us to be like him. God has called us to keep all the commandments as motivated and led by the Spirit of God. See? What God wants is the total conversion of our minds. That's the key. Okay? Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of being at enmity against God, hostile to God, we have peace. God the Father loves us. God the Father has called us. Christ loves us. God the Father has forgiven us through the sacrifice of Christ and so forth. And then that means we're justified. All of that we have to believe on faith. Verse 2. Through whom, that is Christ, we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So grace is the state of relationship that we have with God. And we are standing in that. See, and we're going to see that sin and constant sin puts us at the edge of that grace or out of that grace if we go too far. Into this grace in which we stand, and we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. Always keeping our mind on the kingdom of God, the hope of God, the resurrection, the return of Christ, all of that together. And not only this, we also boast in tribulations, realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say, once saved, always saved. He said what? The one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Now, that's the end when Christ returns, or the end of our lives when we give up our last breath. And endurance brings forth character. And the way you understand character is once you have gone through the trial, once you have endured the trial, and you see the hand of God in that trial and what he's been doing, then you can look back and you can see, yes, that's what God wanted done in my life. And then you are motivated by that to change, correct? And character brings forth hope, and the hope of God never makes us ashamed because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Again, the power of God, which he's given to us. Okay? Now, this is what we're talking about back here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. But grace, verse 7, was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of God. Comes freely. For this reason, he says that after ascending on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he who ascended, what is it? But he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, but he who descended is the same one who also ascended above all the heavens that he might fulfill all things. This is another way of stating the whole goal and purpose of Christ in our lives. Now then we come to another important section here. Now God has chosen men to convey the truth of God through preaching. God does the working in the minds of people so that they can come to understand God. And then before them is set the choices whether they will begin to obey God, love God, answer the call. All of those things are there. And he gave some as apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now that's the order in which they came within the church. This does not imply a hierarchy, but these are functions of those who are elders. Okay? Here's the purpose. See? And this is the greatest sin within the churches of God. The hierarchy. That those ministers think that they have been exalted above the brethren to rule over them with force and cruelty. To extract money from them. Now, God does expect tithing and offering, but God gives it to us to choose to do so in our obedience to him. Here is the purpose of it, see? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, that's a joint project with those who are teaching God's word, God's spirit, as motivated and inspired by Christ, who's the head of the church. That's how it needs to be. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is the building up. And we build on that foundation, and that foundation is Christ, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Now, we all have our responsibility in that, don't we? Okay. What are we to do? Let's come back here, since I mentioned it, 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go back there and see we are to work. Work as led by the Holy Spirit of God. Work with the Spirit of God. Work with the Word of God. To what? To let Christ in us build the character that he wants. All right, 1 Corinthians 3. Pick it up here in verse 11. For no one is able to lay any other foundation. All right? That takes away all other religions, correct? Absolutely. All other gods, all other saviors, all other ideas and philosophies, period, they are all swept away as worthless carnal activities by men who think they're better than God. No one is labeled to lay any other foundation beside that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, so we have to build, we have to be growing in grace and knowledge, it's expressed in another way, you see. Gold, silver, precious stones. Now we're seeing in the economic world the value of gold, silver, and precious stones, correct? Those have substance. Those have inherent wealth. But wood, hay, and stubble. And what do they make paper out of? For their paper money. Wood, hay, and stubble. And those only have an emotional and psychological value. Now, it can be stated by the government that it's worth so much. And if everybody accepts it, then that's a psychological value. And if you're smart and you have enough of it, you will take that fiat money and you will buy some gold and silver and have some real wealth. All right? Now, this pictures varying degrees of character. Now, notice what it says here, verse 13. The work of each one shall be manifested because we're going to be tried, like everything else. You test it, you try it, you examine it. And if it's lacking, you improve it, correct? If it needs something else, then you add to it, correct? That's all part of building on the foundation of Christ. For the day of trial will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall prove what kind of work each one's is. Everyone has this in their lives individually after they've been baptized. This comes. Part of life. Part of Christian character. Part of the works that we have been given to do. And if the verse 14, the work that anyone has built endures, he shall receive a reward. So there are great rewards to receive. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a lot about what those rewards will be. But you know, since this is the work of God in each one of us, and that's the work of God, see. Everything the ministry does, the work of the ministry, that's not the work of God. The work of God is what God is doing in each one of us, you see. If the work of anyone is burned up, on the other hand, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as though by fire. That's provided one other caveat, isn't it? And what is that other caveat? That he has not committed the unpardonable sin, correct? Now let's understand the relationship that God has with us today. And this is so important in our realizing how we fit in Ephesians 4 and 5 together and come to the washing of the water by the word. Verse 16 now, 1 Corinthians 3. Don't you understand that you are God's temple? See, with the Spirit of God, he's dwelling in you. And that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, that's why. Now, mark this carefully and understand it. Once we're converted and have the Spirit of God within us, the Spirit of God working within us will expose the sin within, will make you aware of sinful temptations so that you can repent. Now, people without the Spirit of God, that doesn't happen to you. If you want to see the utter epitome of the opposite of what we're talking about here, watch any of the hardened criminal documentaries, watch CNBC, where they have this fellow that goes out and they entrap men who are out trying to get young women and young boys, okay? And every one of them knows it's wrong, but they cannot stop. Now compare that to what would happen in our minds. Oh, God says we're not even to look upon a woman to lust after her, right? Okay, what do we do then? We ask God to cleanse our minds, okay? Not like these idiots. They walk in. And the fellow says, well, here I am, you know, we're CNBC, and I have a transcript of your texting this girl or this boy. And why did you come here? Oh, well, I just to hang out, you know, just to talk. See, lie, 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 see, Okay. Well, I've got the transcript here, and you said this and this and this. Oh, I know it's wrong. I've never done this before. And some of them have been caught two or three times, you know. See? Just to show you that without the Spirit of God, none of the changing and growing and overcoming will happen. So he says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Which he is saying, if you go as far as to commit the unpardonable sin, you're going to burn up in the lake of fire. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back and continue.